welcome to the subscriber exclusive content from the 7500 Club. I'm D3 Men's Editor Mike Ball, joined as always by D3 Women's Editor Sam Echevarria, and we are taking a little stroll down memory lane to go all the way back to the very, very beginning of February to our primers, which is like our mega preview that we do of each division. Sam and I, along with some help from our coverage teams, do a big comprehensive preview where we look at storylines and region by region previews and players and teams to watch and such. And we make a lot of like fairly vague, to be fair, fairly vague predictions, but a lot of predictions nonetheless. And we wanted to take a look back at those and see what we are most proud of being correct about and what we are most ashamed about being so terribly wrong about. So, Sam, let's start with the positive note. What is the one prediction or anecdote from your primer that you are the most proud of or that proved to be the most correct?
So I'm going to just say that I'm really proud of this because I think it talks about the future of College Ultimate and growth, and D3 Women's in particular is just being an incredible piece in a lot of players' lives. Thinking about, so this is part of our storyline to watch. We called it New Kids on the Block, looking at our division and anticipating the growth and also the impact that some of these younger teams could have here. So, for example, back in the 2018 season, there were about 84 teams listed in the Division III for women's. This year, if I'm looking at the right thing, including B teams, there are 100 teams for D3 women's who are rostered and registered and have teams created on USAU, which is an amazing number to hit, honestly. That thrills me so much. So many great teams working out and doing incredible things for their players and their I was going to say students, who are also their players. Sorry, it's been a long night. Having that, thinking about all of the lives that have been touched by those teams is incredible, because I know being part of the Green Shirts was such a huge part of my college experience. It's really special. Also called out that we had our eye on the Michigan Tech Superior Moz because of their indoor unsanctioned round robin against Carleton. They took it all the way in that last game to go in North Central. They were literally on Universe Point. So there's talent out there, and when it coalesces into a team like the Superior Moz, who have a ridiculous number of underclassmen, expected that great, good, amazing things from them and that here in the near future. I'm really excited to see that we are seeing New Kids on the Block, and we are seeing them shake up the division and make exciting things happen.
So I think you might have just mentioned it, but just refresh me, because your primer said there were 84 teams listed in 2018. How many teams do we have listed this year in 2019?
100, while I'm looking at the full teams and rankings list.
That's awesome. I mean, that's what, like 20% growth?
About that, yeah. From the archive that I've pulled up last year, there were 87 teams included in the rankings, so we went from 87 to 100. That's close to 20% growth in
that's
the 10 to 20.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That is so cool. That makes me really happy to hear. And, you know, I hope those teams stick around and aren't one-year wonders. And I hope that any seniors on those new programs that are listening, make it a transition. Don't leave your team high and dry. Do everything that you can to help that program continue next year without you being there. But congratulations to all those new teams. That's freaking sweet.
It's awesome, for sure. What about on the men's side? What are you most proud about, or what did you call correctly?
So, you know, throwing humility out the window, our team did a really nice job on this. Reading through this primer, there were a lot of things that we predicted and kind of nailed correctly that I'm very proud of us for doing. I think the storyline that we nailed that might have been a little bit of a leap at the time, but that we were pretty confident of, was the strength of the North Central. And we titled the section Chasing Bids in the North Central, and seeing how that region shook out as far as the bid picture goes. And we had GOP, Michigan Tech, and Luther all in our preseason top 25, and St. Olaf as the first team out. And it ended up being those three teams, GOP, Michigan Tech, and Luther, as the ones to take the bids to Nationals, and St. Olaf actually earned one of those bids that ended up going to another team. So we correctly identified a region that had one bid last year. We correctly predicted jumping up to a multiple bid situation and circled the correct teams that we're going to go from that region. And Zach and I tackled that section together and had conversations that led to what we ended up writing in the piece. But the North Central proved out to be very exciting. And, you know, we did a really nice job of picking the right teams even early on that would end up going to Nationals. And so now let's see what those same teams can do now that they've actually qualified for the big show.
Wow. Yeah. Kudos to your team for making that happen. Trying to extrapolate based off what you know of the returning players, their talents, how that fits into the entire region, how that fits into the larger scene. That's pretty spooky how on the nose that was. So very cool to see that.
Yeah. But now that we're done pulling a muscle, patting ourselves on the back, let's eat a little bit of humble pie. What's one that you just completely whiffed on or that you were the most wrong about?
Yeah, so we definitely had eyes on which regions would most likely be having brand new teams. And by brand new, I mean maybe they haven't been in a very long time or have never been to Nationals. So we were looking at the Atlantic Coast, the Southeast, and even maybe Metro East. We identify the regions kind of that are pretty shaky in the Southeast and Atlantic Coast, but totally ate it on the teams to be looking at in regards, especially for the Atlantic Coast. And then also we had called out the Metro East. So we did accurately predict that North Georgia, Aurea, would really put up the fight and take that bid from Georgia College. But Atlantic Coast, Mary Washington wasn't super duper on our radar. They'd been kind of going up and up each year. They'd brought some heat, we had said, in the semifinals last year, but hadn't really pegged them to take that bid. So congrats to Mary Wash folks who did that. Richmond Redhawks, I know they've been trying, but just wasn't their year again this year. In the Metro East, we were thinking, hey, who knows, Hamilton or SUNY Geneseo could really make the mark. Instead, it went back to our perennial favorites of Wesleyan. Should never really doubt the Wesleyan vicious circles, but, you know, that's just a reminder for me to remember and keep in mind as we see that happen. So it's cool to see new teams coming along, but of course, not the teams that we were thinking of, not the teams we picked, not the teams that necessarily were on our kind of cue cards, but we'll be looking for them at Nationals. Can't wait to have anybody else yell quotes of things I've written about them as they win games and proceed to just destroy and dominate.
Man, you're wrong about those things, but like, it seems pretty fair that you were wrong about them. Like, at least, like, the Atlantic Coast one, Mary Washington really came out of nowhere there. Like, very, very big respect to them. Like, I think that's more a case of them being right versus you being wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
But, you know, there's always some upset team that comes about. And, you know, every now and then we're lucky enough to predict that team. And, you know,
it keeps us in the job, predicting and having opinions.
Man, all right. Well, mine is way more embarrassing. I whiffed on the Ohio Valley about as aggressively as one could whiff. I struck out swinging hard and swinging for our home runs. We had Oberlin ranked fifth coming into the season based off the strength of what we perceived from their returners. But then I think we were actually right about the strength of their returners. I think what we were wrong about was the impact of their departures. We underestimated the impact of losing Toby Harvey and Lucian Fitzpatrick to graduation, and then also Talon Johnson to transfer. He actually now plays for Brown, who's amazing in the men's division for D1. So for him to make that team and then also to lose the two other guys previously mentioned, specifically Toby Harvey, Oberlin just never really recovered from that on the offensive side of the disc. They were awesome this year defensively, but just didn't have the consistency from their O-line to to win the big games. And they still bring back a lot of people next year, particularly their two best guys in Noah Zobel and Julian Brugstone. So I'm going to have to really temper myself on where I put them next year, because I'm going to be really eager to rank them highly again. But then beyond them, we had Haverford at number 17 and Xavier at number 18. And they both fell short of that in our top 25 as far as how their seasons finished. But, you know, they did okay at regionals. You know, Xavier finished tied for third. Haverford finished fifth. So we weren't too far off. But I think just the biggest crime is that we didn't have Franciscan or Cedarville really. That was my Southern coming out right there. Cedarville come like predicted to get anywhere close to the final. I mean, we had them in a tier two group, well below. We didn't have Messiah circled as a real contender. They ended up being the one seed and finishing in the top semis there. It was like upside down from what we predicted as far as who did what. And my one caveat there is didn't know that Dom Schuster was returning for final season with Franciscan for his fifth year. So, you know, there's a disclaimer there. But even still, just pretty big swing and a miss on the Ohio Valley.
Yeah, I am just taking a couple looks here at some of the original ranking numbers that we had. Obviously, things moved during the season, and a lot of it was just trying to guess best off of losses that we expected or incoming folks, which can be harder in D3 to necessarily know about. I will say that we did eat it on, didn't account for Lehigh's losses enough. We had them at number four originally. They've obviously plummeted out of our power ranking since then. Pacific Lutheran also just couldn't hold their weight in the Northwest, while Portland really rose up this season. But we had our eye on them a little bit on the women's side there. And not to beat a very, very dead White Walker carrying horse, but Claremont not earning that bid. That one, you know, that one that we've talked about a couple times. Or maybe three times. I don't know.
Enough times. All right. Well, I think we're both hallucinating at this point. We've been recording for a while now, and doing it late after an episode of Game of Thrones is a mistake we won't make again, I don't think. I think that's going to do it. We could go through our whole primers, obviously, and circle a bunch of other things, but I think those were the highlights. So, everybody listening, go back and read through it. Tell us if there's another even bigger mistake or correct prediction if you feel like being nice to us. But, you know, hold us accountable. We stand by everything we write and put our names to it. And so we also deserve to be held accountable when appropriate. So anything else you want to add, Sam?
All I got to say is I'm pretty happy actually looking back the things that we were expecting to see. And I don't mind being proven wrong at all. It's always... that's kind of the fun and the upsets and all of those pieces coming along. So do give us a shout out if there's anything else that we didn't catch or that really got to y'all that we didn't hit on. But otherwise, thanks for tuning in. As always, subscribers are extra special if you're listening to the 7500 Club here with us.
Yeah, thanks for subscribing and supporting all of the content at Ulti World. Much appreciated. All right, I'm D3 Men's Editor Mike Ball, signing off on behalf of D3 Women's Editor Sam Echevarria. Thanks for listening to the 7500 Club.